We are in a 2-week series, and we just wrapped up a series last week talking about generosity, and we have another small, kind of like a mini series, a 2-week series. It's called Home for the Holidays. Home for the Holidays. How many of you are leaving here, like if this is home and you're going somewhere else for the holidays? Anybody up in here? How many of you are leaving going, okay? How many of you are planning on staying here home for the holidays? All right, so more staying than going, but it's almost split. The beautiful thing about being home for the holidays is like that could be really good or really bad. You know what I'm talking about? December is full of excitement, it's tradition, all that good stuff, but it's also full of anxiety because you get to see the people that you love the most. You know what I'm talking about? Whenever somebody says they're going home for the holidays or they have people coming home for the holidays, that is a mixed bag right there. You have no idea what you're reading their facial expressions, right? They're like, yeah, all the family's coming into town, you know, or we're going to, you know, so-and-so's house this year and Uncle so-and-so, you know what I'm talking about? Like, so there's a lot of excitement for some, but there's also a lot of anxiety for others, and some more than others. The other day, you know, we've got two daughters, and me and my wife, and Ariana and Elin, they're almost 6 and almost 12, and so they're really good friends. But the other day, Ariana told Elin, she said, Elin, I will always love you, she said, but I won't always like you. And if that doesn't sum up family, I don't know what does. It's true. So it's home for the holidays. This week, I'm going to be talking about expectations versus reality. And next week, just a little bit of a hint, we're going to be talking about gratitude and grace. Gratitude for the people in our lives and extending grace to the people in our lives. But before we get to the other people, we need to start with ourselves. And when it comes to the holidays, there's a lot of expectations, but expectations don't always match reality. And if we have improper expectations, we can actually live life with a distorted reality. Whenever someone is getting married in our church, we as pastors, we take them through it's kind of like an evaluation test, if you will, just to kind of see where they're at as a couple. And one of the categories is called idealistic distortion. It's basically how much a couple is seeing their relationship or future relationship, their marriage, through rose-colored lenses. And the thing about that is that there's idealistic distortion where you're seeing, you know, rose-colored lenses, but then there's the other way where they're going into it expecting the worst. And so what is that? That's expectations. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today when it comes to family. And honestly, this is low-hanging fruit as far as a message today. We're not going super deep, but it's very, very practical because, to be honest, we're going to jump into some of this. December, we might laugh about it, but it's actually a big deal for a lot of people. It's a struggle. December can be a really hard month. And so when we talk about expectations and reality today, we're going to learn from a person that we all know and love about expectations and reality. And his name is Clark Griswold.
Dad, didn't they invent Christmas tree lights so people wouldn't have to drive all the way out to nowhere and waste a whole Saturday?
They invented them, Russ, because people forgot how to have a fun, old-fashioned family Christmas and are satisfied with scrawny, dead, overpriced trees that have no special meaning.
My toes are numb.
You see, kids, this is what our forefathers did.
I can't feel my leg.
They walked out into the woods, they picked out that special tree, and they cut it down with their bare hands.
Mom, I can't feel my hips.
Clark.
Yes, honey?
Audrey's frozen from the waist down.
Oh, that's all part of the experience, honey.
There it is. The Griswold family Christmas tree.
Isn't it a little big?
It's not big, it's just full.
Dad, that thing wouldn't fit in our yard.
Not going in our yard, Russ. It's going in our living room.
I
Look at it.
It really is beautiful, Jack.
Something else, huh, Russ?
Yeah, Dad.
Isn't it a beaut, Audrey?
She'll see it later, honey. Her eyes are frozen.
Most enduring traditions of the season are best enjoyed in the warm embrace of kith and kin. The three are the symbol of the spirit of the Griswold family Christmas.
Dad, did you bring a saw?
Do you think there's enough room for the angel?
Oh, sure, honey. I have a little more trimming to do, but that won't be a problem. Ready? I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
A lot of sap in here. Looks great. A little full. A lot of sap.
Did I tell you I talked to my mother today?
And?
They've decided they're coming for Christmas, too. You know, it's not too late to change our plans.
No, that's great. It's great.
I think you're forgetting how difficult it's going to be having everybody in the house at the same time.
Honey, they're family. They're not strangers off the street.
All they do is argue.
Christmas is about resolving differences and seeing through the petty problems of family life.
Yeah. And it's about my mother accusing your mother of buying cheap hot dogs and your mother accusing my mother of waxing her upper lip, and then they don't speak to
each other. Your
mother
waxes her upper lip?
She has for years.
Doesn't show.
I don't know, Sparky. I just have this feeling.
Ellen, I want to have Christmas here in our house. It means a lot to me. All my life I've wanted to have a big family Christmas. Mm-hmm.
It's just that I know how you build things up in your mind, Sparky. You set standards that no family event can ever live up to.
When have I ever done that?
Parties. Weddings.
Night,
anniversaries.
Honey.
Funerals. Holidays. Vacations. Graduations.
Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. As Clark Griswold, he has a problem with expectations, obviously. He builds things up and nothing ever can keep up. And if we're honest, how do you come out of that, right? Like, how do you come off of that movie and make it serious? But we do the same thing in a lot of different ways. We have expectations, and again, many times reality can't keep up with expectations, and so what happens whenever that doesn't happen, right? When it comes to expectations, I want to talk to you about three different types of expectations today that we might have. Yes, going into the holidays, but also, for some of you, you need to expand this into your whole life. Because you're probably going to see yourself up in this mix. When it comes to expectations, there's three types. Number one, there are unrealistic expectations. Just unrealistic. And this could be pessimistic or optimistic, okay? But it's just extreme. It's unrealistic. And again, reality can't keep up. But there's dangers in extremes. So if you're an overly optimistic person, you live life like Clark Griswold. Like, it's gonna be the best ever. You know what I'm talking about? This Christmas, this is the Christmas that we've been waiting for. I've always wanted to have a big family Christmas. And he's got these ideas. And even though the Christmas tree is obviously too big, rose-colored lenses, it's the perfect tree. no logic involved, okay? And then he opens it up, and it's obviously, it doesn't fit in the house, but he's just like, it's going to be great. And some people, that's how they live their life. Overly optimistic, it's going to be the best ever, and reality doesn't keep up. And in the same way, there is overly pessimistic. People that see life in the worst way possible. It's gonna be horrible. You know, maybe you're the person that you're preparing for the holidays and you're having like the conversation by yourself, like in your car or in the shower, talking to the wall. And you're just like, if Uncle So-and-so says that, if he brings it up, like I'm going to let him have it. You know what I'm talking? You know what I'm talking about? If he brings up the fact that FSU did not make the playoffs, like, I'm sorry, Paul. I'm telling you, if we go there, I am going to let them have it. Yeah. So what happens is this: people who are overly pessimistic, a lot of times it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, man. You go into a situation expecting something to happen, and even if it doesn't happen to the 100%, it's just a little. If they just kind of, the person sort of just looks the wrong way, you're just like, here we go, let's go, gloves off. You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because you're expecting it. You have an expectation of something. And expectations like this affect our lives. They distort the way that we live, and they also have a lot of negative impacts on us, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, the types of expectations that we have. According to the American Psychological Association, 38% of people surveyed said that their stress increased during the holiday season, which can lead to physical illness, depression, anxiety, and substance misuse. Now, in a much more serious point of these of this statement, death rates increase in this time. Suicide goes up in the month of December. Like, for some of us, the things that we're thinking about when we talk about unrealistic expectations is just maybe some funny relational things, some, you know, quirky people. But for others, there's a lot of loss. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that are going on, and this is a very difficult time. And so it plunges people into depression and anxiety and all sorts of other extreme situations. And it affects people's physical lives, their bodies, their souls. There's other studies that talk about how 85% of what people worry about and fear either never happen, or if it does happen, it's not near as bad as they thought it would be. So even those of you who are overly pessimistic, I'll raise my hand on that one. The way that you picture things going, 85% of the time is not actually what takes place. But we live it 1,000 times. It's like death by 1,000 cuts. We have 1,000 fears or 1,000 pessimistic thoughts, or we approach people or situations in that way. And it's all internal. So a lot of the stuff that happens whenever it comes to unrealistic expectations has nothing to do with the situation itself. It only has to do with us internally, what's happening inside of us. And so what happens is these expectations, unrealistic expectations, overly optimistic or overly pessimistic, a lot of times it leads to this next thing, which is unmet expectations. So if you have unrealistic expectations, a lot of times you're going to have unmet expectations. And so when it comes to unmet expectations, this is the letdowns, the disappointments, okay? These are the things that make people say, like, I'm never gonna hope in that again. How many of you, a relationship has gone bad, and that was it? That's all it took. It took one bad relationship for your trust to be broken, and that's it. And now everybody that comes into your life, they have to go through all these criteria in order to earn, like, just a hangout. You know what I'm talking about? Because you're so insulated in life. It's unmet expectations. And the Word of God actually has a better phrase for that and what we're experiencing, and it's actually deferred hope. Whenever you put your hope in something and you're let down, it's disappointing, but it actually damages hope and trust in which it begins to be the way that you live your life. In Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So it might happen once in your life, an unmet expectation, you know, when you're young and then you get older and another thing happens. It doesn't take that many, by the way. It doesn't take 10, 15. It could be one big one. Just one big hope that you had, and it didn't work out the way that you thought it should, and now you are living life in defense mode. And so hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. But when it comes to these letdowns and disappointments, what takes place, and I can really only speak for myself, but what happens in a lot of people is that whenever there's unmet expectations, there's a responsibility that we feel someone has got to have and take because of what we're going through. So something bad happens, and the first question that a lot of us think is, who's at fault? Who did it? Who did the thing that set off the domino effect in this situation? And if they wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't be dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. Somebody needs to be blamed. And so we start playing the blame game. And then many times, if it's not a person that we're blaming, for many people, they end up blaming God. So we start blaming God based upon expectations that we put on God that he never told us or promised us, and then we're holding him accountable to our own expectations. There's so many times people talk about the promises of God, and they'll talk about these promises, and what they're really saying is the promises equal their comfort. And God didn't promise comfort. Jesus said the opposite many times. He says, in this life, you're going to go through a lot of stuff. It's going to be hard in many instances. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so we approach life. We have these expectations on people, on God. And whenever it doesn't work out, man, we got to blame somebody because it's definitely not ourselves, right? It's not me. I will add in a caveat for some of you. That's actually the first place that you do go. You're very self-deprecating. You blame yourself. You beat yourself up. Everybody else is right, and you're always wrong. And so then you live life hopeless in yourself, in your ability to really do anything. It's kind of what Dana was just talking about in worship. This, you have this hopeless, unworthy, self-deprecating, self-destructive tendency in your life. And that might go back to something that happened whenever you were younger. People said things to you, parents said things to you, and it's messed with you. So at the end of the day, though, it's unmet expectations. And so then we live life with unrealistic expectations, unmet expectations. But the third type of expectation is this, realistic expectations. Now, don't we all want to have realistic expectations? I do too. I'm the person that I try not to be overly optimistic because I'm naturally a pessimistic person. So that's not hard for me to do, is not be overly optimistic, right? But I also try not to be overly pessimistic. I want to be in the middle. And so we have this mindset that if I don't think too positively or I don't think too negatively, I'll never be surprised and I'll be in a realistic, like neutral zone where I'm just ready for everything. The problem with that is that we have no control over anything. So any expectation that you have, honestly, is not really realistic if it's based upon yourself, upon anyone else, upon the economy, upon your health. If it's based on anything, everything is movable. So essentially, we cannot have realistic expectations. I think about this a lot. I'm like, okay, I don't want to overly do this or whatever. And I'm like, well, then what can I actually do? What can I actually expect? What about realistic expectations? Hey, this is the question. How do we, as Christians, how do we have realistic expectations? What does it look like? We're going into the holidays. What does it look like to have realistic expectations of the environments we're going to be in, the people we're going to encounter? Let's expand it out from just the holidays. What does it look like for you as a believer in Jesus? Everything that we just talked about and sang about, the verse of scripture that we just read in Corinthians, what does it look like for a Christian to have expectations in life? Because again, unmet expectations, you pull the plug and you're like, I'm not gonna have any expectations at all. Well, we don't wanna be extreme. We don't wanna become nihilists, all right? Which is where I go a lot of times, very nihilistic. You know, we don't want to do that, but we also don't want to live with our head in the sand. Everything's great. poking her hand out the tree, and it's a little big, a little full, a lot of sap, but it's good. It's like, no, the tree is bad, Clark. It's bad. You made a bad decision. You forgot the chainsaw. You shouldn't have got the, you know what I'm saying? Somebody be honest with Clark. His wife tried. He was like, no, honey. How many of you, that's what it sounds like for you. What does it look like for a Christian, though, to have realistic expectations? And it's going to start with something that some of you might expect, some of you might not. But I believe we have to go to the highest level of importance. And number one, we have to trust that God's plan and purpose are guaranteed. So if we're talking about setting our feet on something that's actually rock solid, a foundational thing in our life that we can set realistic expectations on, the first level is that we've got to have this internal anchor that we believe, we actually believe that God's plan and purpose are at the forefront of everything and that it is guaranteed whenever everything else is not. Your health is not guaranteed. At some point, our bodies break down. Your retirement is not guaranteed. You could do it perfect your whole life. You know what I'm saying? You could save, you got your Roth, you got everything. I mean, it's all, you got your 401k, everything's great. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. That's not, it's not actually a foundational thing. We try to mitigate risk in our life, and we should have wisdom, but we can't really rely on it. But we can trust that God's plan and purpose ultimately are guaranteed. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your paths straight. So many of you, you grew up in Sunday school, you could have read that whole, quoted that whole scripture, but we don't live it all the time. And that ties into Proverbs 19. It says, many are the plans in the mind of a man. Many are the expectations in the mind of a man. Overly pessimistic, overly optimistic, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So we can't trust in our expectation. We can't trust in our plan because those things are shifting, but the purpose of the Lord will stand above all of those things. Now that might feel a little bit disconnected from reality, but it's not. It is reality. The plan and the purpose of the Lord is actually reality. Now, that's the anchor. The next thing and the last thing is this, in our expectations, how can we have realistic expectations? We can have realistic expectations knowing that God uses every situation to shape me into who he wants me to be. You could be confident about that. That you're being broken down, right? You're being molded and broken into who God wants you to be, not yourself. So this, in the next couple of weeks, as you encounter family, friends, environments that seem to be grating on you, before next week, we'll get into the people, the other people, the other situations. Before you go there, think internally, why is this messing with me so bad? And then ask the question, God, what are you trying to do in me? Because whether it's worst case scenario or best case scenario, the plan of God is to shape you into who he wants you to be for his ultimate purpose and his good.